You have your Bibles with you this morning. I ask that you turn to John 8, verse 12. One verse today. Again, Jesus spoke to them, saying, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." This verse in itself is, it could really be a life-changing verse for you or for anyone who would read it and ask God to give them the discernment of what these words are actually saying. This is the words of Jesus Christ himself. He says, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me," whoever is willing to follow me, he says, "will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." If you see this verse for what it is, if you see him being Jesus Christ, for who he is, it can ultimately be a life-changing verse for you. Now, you sit here today and you may have many different verses that you relate to or that really has always held you close or steadfast to God's Word. But maybe this is a verse that you have read, or maybe it could be your life verse. But if it is not one of your verses that you can recall, that you maybe have not hidden away, let this be a verse that you can hide away in your heart to remember that he is the light of the world. And if you're willing to follow Jesus Christ, you will not walk in darkness. And we're going to talk about the importance of light, and we're going to talk about what this verse means in regards to darkness today. And we're going to focus on the light of the world. And as we look at this season that we're embarking upon, Jesus Christ is the light of the world. He was born to be the light of the world. And so we want to focus on the importance of knowing, as we studied last week, in the beginning was the Word, meaning Jesus. And we know that in the beginning was Jesus. And in the beginning, Jesus was the light. He is the light. And he wants us, and John wants us to see in this particular verse, that Jesus wants to be the light of your life. He wants to be the light of this world. As this picture here shows, the light of the world, that light that is so bright. We think about how bright the sun is, and we can't look at it because it is so bright. But how much brighter, how much glorious of a light does Jesus Christ give off? And one day we'll be able to behold that light. We'll be able to behold it in a way that we cannot imagine or fathom. We can look at the sun now and we must block our eyes or have on sunglasses, but we won't need that type of protection looking at that glorious light that Jesus will bestow upon us in the days in which we see him face to face. It says that following Jesus is more than just tagging along with him, and that's something I think that's important, that we don't just tag along the coattails of Jesus Christ. That we don't just carry our Bibles with us because we are to carry our Bibles with us. That we don't keep a Bible in our vehicle just in case we need it. That we don't go through the motions or pretend that we are wanting to be as Christ. It means that we are to want to follow him for who he is. And in doing so, we'll receive the benefit of. And that's the thing that I don't understand, why so many people aren't willing to hear more about Christ. People aren't willing to truly see what it means to be filled with the Christ and Christ's light. And so in our embark as a Christian, in our walk, the question I guess I'll leave for you today is this: do others see Christ's light within you? Some days maybe yes, and maybe some other days not so much. And so it is our responsibility to allow the light of Christ to shine so brightly within our own lives that people will see a difference and they'll want to know about this wonderful light, that we are to be a light to and of the world. Jesus Christ's main desire for you is that he wants you personally to fix yourself upon him. That you are a part of him, that he is a part of you. When you follow him, you have him. And that's something else I wondered that do we think about? Do we think about having Jesus Christ as a part of who we are? Do you truly think about being a part of Jesus and Jesus being a part of you? And that's what we need to keep at the very forefront of our minds. When we have him as the light of our lives, this is what Jesus is saying as we read in this verse. He says, I am the light. Whoever follows me will have the light. Now, that doesn't mean that you're not going to have bad days and that you're not going to be in a bad mood sometimes and you're not going to be a grumbly person to be around. That's not the case. We know that that is the case sometimes. Hopefully not as often as the alternative. But at the same time, and we're having those moments when we are not feeling good, when we're not feeling good about ourselves, or maybe we feel that everything around us is just squeezing us out and we just don't know what to do, we've got to remember that we follow Jesus Christ. And if you believe that, he's going to take care of you. He's going to pull you out of the miry pit. He's going to make sure that you're going to be okay. Even though it's cold and dreary outside, we know that the sun has already risen this morning. We don't see it today because it's hidden by the cloud cover, but we know it's there. And so Jesus is the very same. We don't see him, but we know he's there. But if you're close to him as he desires you to be, you can feel his presence. You know that he's right there with you. He's right here in this place today. And I think, unfortunately, we don't take advantage of just how good Jesus is and how he's right there at our disposal anytime we need him. He wants us to come unto him. If you have Jesus in your life, if you will have Jesus and let him be your light, this is what Jesus is ultimately saying. If you follow me, you have me. I am yours. I am your shepherd. I am your sacrifice. And I am your living water. I am your bread from heaven. And I am your God, and I am your light. The last phrase of verse 12 is a very important phrase. It says, you will have the light of life, which is something that we need to wrap our minds around. We will have the light of life. Do you have the light of life within you? How many people do you come in contact with on a daily basis, knows through your lifestyle, knows through the way you live that you are a child of God? Are you a light to this world? Or do you constantly walk around with a sad face, a sad heart, because you just don't want to smile? Or you don't want to spread cheer or spread joy? You know, we don't need to just spread Christmas cheer during the month of December. We really need to spread cheer all the days that we have here on this earth. I'm guilty of it. Some days I don't feel like spreading cheer. Now, I'll be honest with you, when I'm at home, I don't spread as much cheer as I need to, but oh, I tell you, as soon as I step out in public, guess what I'm able to do? I'm able to spread some cheer. But sometimes at home, I don't spread as much cheer as I should. And maybe sometimes at home, I might even take away some of the cheer of the household. But we have to be conscientious of knowing that even when we don't want to, we should. Because you think about the sacrifice that Jesus Christ put forth. He was willing to sacrifice it all so that we could spread cheer. Not fleshly cheer, but I mean real cheer, Christmas cheer. Cheer full of Christ and joy and love and peace. As the choir and the children and youth sang, let there be peace on this earth. And where does it begin? With each of us. That is why the world is the way it is. Because we're not willing to step out and to spread the cheer as we should. I'm guilty of it, and I'm sure you are as well. But that's what he wants. God wants. He sent his son Jesus to be the light of the world. He sent his son Jesus to show you and I how we too need to be the light of the world. John 1:4 says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Now you may sit here today as a non-believer. you have life, earthly life, and one day you're going to have an eternal death if you don't have the light of the world living within you. But this is what John 1:4 says. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. So we see the perfect example, the light of men, comes from Jesus Christ and no other. We can compile all the lights ever created on this earth, give them source, give them the ability to have power and to light them up. And we know that even in outer space, they're able to look down and they're able to see all the lights of each city. You can see the outline around Florida and California, the metropolis of Atlanta and New York City, thousands and thousands of miles away. You can see that light and how bright that light is from space. But there is never going to be a light more powerful or more bright as Jesus Christ himself. And that's what he wants you and I to exude and to show everywhere that we go. The life gives the light. The life Jesus has and the life he shares with those who follow him gives the light. And so do you have his light? Is he your light? Or do you try to find other things in your life to be your light, to be your power source of peace and love and joy? You know, we focus at Christmas time and we want to give the right gifts and we want to make sure we show our friends and our families that we love them. We want to prepare the best meals. We want to decorate our trees and our house as pretty as possible. But then we don't want to take the time to tell people what Christmas is all about. And we're all guilty of that. We do get caught up in the moments of a worldly Christmas. I hope that you take the time in your own personal life and in your own family to at least speak about the true meaning of Christmas, to at least speak about the miraculous birth of Jesus Christ, how he came here to be a baby, as was discussed last night. He could have entered this world in any way possible. He could have entered this world as the King of Kings, already on the throne on this earth, but he came here to live a life that you and I lived, to grow as you and I have grown, and to experience all the many things that we experience, so that he'll know our pain, so that he'll know how our hearts respond and react to trial and tribulation. He knows these things. We are dead and we're blind to the light if we do not know Christ. And just as the old spiritual song goes, "Amazing Grace," I once was blind, but now I see. It's not cliche. It's not just a saying. Before you accepted Christ as your saving grace, you were blind. And unfortunately, in our walk that we have today, even as Christians, sometimes we're blind to some of our own sins and our own failures that we're not willing to see. And so we need to remember, if we dig deeper into God's word, if we make sure that we remember that he's the light of the world and we too should be the light of the world, he will open our eyes to our own failures, our own sin, our own iniquity, so that we can continually have a great relationship with him. So I encourage you to make sure that your eyes, the eyes of your heart, are open to see Jesus. Do you allow that divine light to stream into your living spirit? Because understand that you have a spirit. We all are born with a spirit, with a soul. And there's only two options for that soul: to enter into his courts of praise, to enter into heaven, or enter into eternal fire and damnation. There's only two destinations for that soul. Is your soul, is your spirit a living sacrifice, a living example, a light to the world? The light that comes from new spiritual and eye-opening life is a life, is a power source no greater than Jesus Christ himself, for he is the source. You and I are to be the light of the world. I want you to keep this in your mindset through this service today and through the course of the week. Remind yourself, what does it mean to be the light of the world? Jesus spoke saying that I am the light of the world. What does that mean to you? What does that mean in your personal walk with Christ? The whole world is not completely filled with light. As we've been studying, here's another plug for Revelation, but as we've been studying through the book of Revelation, we've already learned that once Jesus raptures the church, the spiritual light is going to be removed. And then once that spiritual light is removed, can you imagine how bad things here on this earth will be? So examine your life today. As you sit here today, I want you to think about your spiritual life, your spiritual light in your heart and where you are with Christ. Jesus says, whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, which means that you don't follow him. What are you walking in? Darkness. And where is that darkness? If you're not a child of God, that darkness dwells within your heart. And we know that there's nothing good that takes place in the dark. Most crimes are committed when? In the dark of the night. However, more and more criminals are brazen now when they're committing crimes in broad daylight. But most of the time, at night, evil rears its ugly head. We must be the light of the world. So what does this important phrase mean for you and me and for this world who is in need of Jesus? Jesus being the light of the world means the world has no other light than him. If there is going to be light for the world, it will be Jesus. It is Jesus or darkness. There is no third alternative. And can you think of another source of light greater than Jesus Christ? The answer is no. It means all the world and everyone in it needs Jesus as their light. And, you know, we see this time and time again. And, of course, now with the growth of social media, more and more people speak their minds. They speak their truths. They speak their hearts. And you have to be very careful of that. Be careful for you all who use the social media, because once you put it out there, there's no pulling it back. It is out there. And so before you get on Facebook and maybe you've had a bad day and you begin to rant and rave and you're just typing away and then you hit send or post. Well, once you've hit send or post, you're not pulling those words back. And so you need to make sure that you're always letting your light shine. No matter how bad things are, no matter how bad your situation is, you must handle the situation with care, because you are not representing the world. You are a representative of Jesus Christ. And we cannot afford to give him a bad name. And unfortunately, we see that in our lives now. The Christianity has been made fun of. It's constantly being ridiculed. We're called hypocrites because of the things that we say and the things that we do. So that's why you must make sure that you do not judge, but we continue to love and love in the light of Christ. It means the world was made for this light being Jesus. Remember, anytime you hear me say light, I'm referring to Jesus Christ. This is not a foreign light. This is the light of the owner, the creator, the sustainer of the world. You ever think about that term? That Jesus is the owner of this world. There's a song that sings, "This is my Father's world." This is his world. He created it. When this light comes, it not only makes sin plain, it not only makes sin foreign and ugly, but it also makes everything good in the world shine with his full and true beauty. No matter how Satan disguises sin, truth be known, we'll look at this beautiful Christmas tree. If we take this Christmas tree for what it's worth and we begin to worship the Christmas tree, what does that become? It's become a sin. It's become an idol. So if we think of this as Christmas and we don't think of this beautiful nativity scene for what Christmas is all about, that in itself is a sin. We have to make sure that our focus is always on God. Sin can be ugly, but then it can also be beautiful. But when we look at God for what he is and what his son is as the light, it reveals all darkness. It reveals all sin and iniquities that are within our hearts. This world was made to be illumined by the light. This world was made to be illumined by Jesus Christ himself. The light of Christ is indigenous to this world. And then finally, Jesus being the light of the world means that one day this world will be filled with his light, just as the waters cover the sea. You think about that picture. We think about the earth and how vast it is and how much of the earth is covered with water. And one day this earth will be covered with the light of Jesus Christ, as we see The waters cover the sea, and all of the darkness and all the works of darkness and all the sons of darkness will be cast out. Can you imagine what this will be like one day when the new heaven and the new earth is going to be constructed, and there will be no evil, there will be no darkness, there will be no sin? Can you imagine what that'll be like? Even in our perfect sanctuary here today, there's sin among us. And as bright as it is in here this morning, there is still sin among us, because this light is man-made. It's artificial light. But Jesus Christ himself is the sacrificial light. And there is no greater light source than Jesus himself. This is why Jesus called hell outer darkness. You know, we don't like to talk about hell. We don't like to think about hell. And many times hell is not discussed here in the pulpit area. But hell is real. Just as heaven is real. And we need to make sure that people understand that hell is real. Whether they choose to believe in God or not, hell is real. Jesus says in Matthew 8:12, but the sons of the kingdom will be cast out into outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Matthew 22:13, then the king said to the servants, bind him hand and foot, take him away and cast him into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Matthew 25:30, and cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. We cannot say that Jesus has not forewarned. We cannot say that we didn't know, because just in those three verses alone, in one book of the Bible, in Matthew, in one book of the Bible, Jesus says three times, and these are just in these verses, there will be weeping and there will be gnashing of teeth for those who have not called upon the name of the Lord to be saved. Don't you want to be the light of the world? Don't you want to be filled with his light? Is your life filled with light or darkness? Are you that city on a hill? Matthew 14, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be what? Hidden. That city cannot be hidden. You cannot be hidden if you are filled with his light. And you should not want to be hidden. You should want to let your light shine so bright that others will always see Jesus in you. I shared that with Robert Michael this and Brody this morning on the way to church. You know, as young children and youth, I understand what it's like to stand up there and have all these eyes looking at you. And you don't really want to smile. You don't really want to sing because you're nervous. You're embarrassed. I know how it feels. One time I was a child and I was a youth. And matter of fact, 30 some odd years ago, I stood right here and stood on a little booth, a little booster seat on a seat and on a little chair. And I sang and I remember how it felt. It's very nervous, nerve-wracking. But remember, it's not about what you all think. We have to keep our mind and our hearts focused on knowing that we're singing, we're trying to praise God with what he's given us. And so children and youth who are here today, don't ever be ashamed to stand up in church. Don't ever worry about being ridiculed because you're standing up for Christ. Because when it's over, even as young as you are right now, he's going to look at you. God will look at you and he will tell you, well done, my good and faithful servant. There's no compliments here on this earth that we can give you that will supersede the congratulatory face and hug or handshake that God and Jesus himself will be able to give you. Always stand up for what is right, even if it's the most unpopular choice in your group or people you hang out with. No matter if you're a young Christian or a seasoned Christian, it is our responsibility to always be the light of the world. I want you to listen to the description as to what it will be like in that day, as Jesus has talked about, and that day, referring to that day of his coming, or maybe that day he calls you home. Listen to this description. All will be light. Jesus, the radiance of the Father, will fill the world, and everything will be beautiful with the light of Christ. You know, I was hoping we were going to get snow. I know God is in control of it all, and I'm still thinking that sometime before this winter season's over, we're going to see a snow this year, but if we don't, that is okay. But I love a beautiful snow before anything else has touched it. You look outside, and what do you see? Pure white snow, purity. Everything looks clean. There's no darkness, especially when the sun begins to come out and it reflects that light off that white snow. Everything looks beautiful. Everything looks peaceful. Everything looks perfect. Think about the radiance of Jesus Christ and his light and how pure he is and how bright he is. In these glorious ways, Jesus is the light of the world. If you follow him now, you will have him as your light in advance of that great day. Now, that great day is coming. But if you already are a follower of Christ, you've already experienced that light. And as I've already said this morning, if we follow him, he is going to reveal sin within your life. But take that as a blessing. Take that as a gift. Aren't you glad that Jesus is the revealer of sin, the revealer of darkness? He opens our eyes that we may see what we need to work on, what may hinder our relationship with Christ. And not only hinder our relationship with Christ, but it may also hinder our relationship with like believers. He will be the light in which you see God, the light in which you see the history of redemption and the work of his salvation. Do you ever think about that? If you look at your own life, do you see the work of his salvation within your own life? And I hope the answer is yes, that you continually see the work of his salvation for you in your own Christian walk. He will be the light in which you see mountains and valleys and oceans and rivers and trees and animals and people. His light will illuminate things in a way that you've never seen before. Nothing will ever be the same again when you have seen him as your light. And that's what's so glorious. Once you have been saved by God and his saving grace has fallen upon you, your life will never be the same again. And that's for you to be able to say, thank God that he's changed me. Praise be to God that he allowed the Holy Spirit to come and live within me so I can be a light to this world. Everything looks so different in the light of Christ. We can even take the calamities around us. You know, we take this winter storm that's moved through, and you may ask, well, how do we see the light of Christ in that? Or maybe the fires that took place out in California, which now, you know, this past week they were flooding. Because the fires were so severe, then there was nothing there to hold the soil in place. And so then the heavy rains came, and then they had flooding. So one week their areas were being burned, and the next week they're being flooded. How do we see light in that? But we've got to understand and know, even through death, even through the worst trials of our lives, as believers in God, we must always see the light of Christ. Until his light fills the earth as the waters cover the sea. Until light banishes sin and sickness and pain to outer darkness. Until then, even now, his light will help you bear the sorrows of darkness. It will be a soft glow to comfort you in your lonely room after a devastating loss. Sometimes it's a subtle light. Sometimes it's a subtle touch by Christ to remind you that it's going to be okay. Even in the darkest hours of your life, remember the glow of his light. It will be a lamp on your troubled path. It will reveal the wise and loving face of God behind every frowning providence. Every one of us sitting here today, even our young children, have experienced bad days. And you know, that's one thing that I'm guilty of. I can't really recall much of my childhood. I think most of my childhood was pretty happy. But I don't often give my two children the benefit of the doubt that they can have bad days like we do. They can wake up in the morning not feeling good like we do. They don't want to go to school some mornings like we may not want to go to work. We have to be able to see those things and relate to those things and to understand that through all of these heartaches, even through our children's lives and even as adults, you know, a lot of times when we get older, we wish that we could go back. And then, you know, when we're younger, we say, I'm ready to graduate high school. I'm ready to have a job. I'm ready to have a family. And then when you get to that point, you're like, man, I had it made when I was in high school.